The title of this message this morning that God's placed on my heart on this dedication Sunday is A Life of Dedication. A Life of Dedication. And I'm just going to be reading the words of Jesus this morning. They found in Matthew's Gospel, in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. And the Bible passages will be on the screen behind me if you haven't got a Bible. But it says this in Matthew 16, verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me." You know, as I've shared with those of you who know me, if you haven't met me before, then I'll share it with you now. But Georgina and I, we're part of a local tennis club. Now, we haven't been as often as we'd like to have been, probably over the winter period. I'm still carrying a bit of holiday weight, but looking forward to joining the Aberdeen Tennis Club back again. But, you know, it's been a great privilege to be a part of the tennis club. And, you know, one of the things I love about being part of the tennis club is not only playing tennis, but getting to meet different people. Meeting people from all different types of walks of life. And, you know, we've met this this father and son who have come along. They're from Brighton originally, and I get on really well with them. They're very, very funny. And, the father and son, and they're great company to be with. We enjoy playing against them. But they're also big football fans, both the father and the son. They're massive football fans, and they're big Brighton supporters because they lived in Brighton. They love Brighton and Hove Albion. They support Brighton. And so every time I go to the football, every time I go to the tennis club, I'm always talking to them about football. Georgina's always telling me to get away because I can't stop talking to them. But we're always talking about the football because I support Liverpool. And so we just always sharing with one another about the latest scores, who Brighton have got in the upcoming fixtures. Where do you think they'll finish in the league? They always talk about how's Liverpool doing and all these things. But last time we went to the tennis club, the dad asked me, Steve, he said, "Luke, have you always supported Liverpool?" Now, I was afraid of this question because the truth is, I haven't. I know that he and his son have been dedicated, lifelong supporters of Brighton and Hove Albion, but I haven't been a dedicated supporter of Liverpool. I wish I could say that I was. I wish I could say I was a diehard Liverpool fan, that I've always supported Liverpool, but the truth is, I haven't. Now, I originally started Liverpool when I was a child because of my dad, actually. I remember watching in 2001, as you can see a photo there, this was an FA Cup final. Dave, I don't know if you remember this one. FA Cup final 2001, Liverpool were against Arsenal. Now, this is my first memory of watching a football game. I think I was about 7 years old, 8 years old, but I remember Liverpool were playing Arsenal and Arsenal were winning 1-0. And then I remember Liverpool ended up winning the game 2-1 because Michael Owen, he scored 2 goals late on in the game. And I remember from that moment, I remember deciding, I want to be a Liverpool supporter. They were the winners of the FA Cup. I thought, yeah, I want to be a Liverpool supporter. But you know, as I went through primary school, as I went through comprehensive school, high school, that my support and my dedication to Liverpool, it waned. Sorry, Nat. I know Nat's a Liverpool supporter, so you won't like hearing this morning. But I remember at one point I supported the enemy. I supported Man United. Lord, forgive me for that. It was because my uncle bought me a Man United top when he went away to Barcelona. I remember he bought me a Man United top with Beckham on the back. So I wanted to be a Man United supporter. Then I ended up supporting Leeds because my uncle loves Leeds United and he was my hero. So I looked up to him. So I became a Leeds United fan and I even went up to watch a few games with Leeds with him. And then when I was in comprehensive school, I started supporting Chelsea because my grandfather Clive, he was a big Chelsea supporter and Chelsea were winning everything at that moment in time. As you can tell, I'm a bit of a glory supporter. I like whoever's winning at the moment. But I had to make a decision in comprehensive school. This wasn't the most important decision I'd ever make, but it was an important one. I had to decide who was I going to support. And I decided, I thought, I'm going to go back to my roots. I'll make my father proud. I'll go back and support Liverpool once again. And since that moment, I have been pretty dedicated. I have supported Liverpool from that moment on. But you know, I've been thinking, even in preparing this message this morning, about dedication, about commitment. We're living in a world where it values dedication, about being committed to different things. So many of you in this room are committed and dedicated to many different things, not just sport. Maybe you do have a favorite team. Maybe it's Cardiff. Maybe it's Swansea. I don't know who your favorite team is. Maybe it's another team. Maybe you're dedicated to another sport, a sport. Maybe you're dedicated this morning in your relationships. Maybe it's work. Maybe you're dedicated to your work. You love your work. You're always on time. You're committed to your workplace. But you know, the most important area of our lives in which we should be dedicated is our faith in God. As followers of Jesus, this should be the place, this should be the area in our lives that we should be dedicated to the most. I found that our dedication determines our growth. As I said, many people are dedicated in our world to so many different things, careers, fitness, even hobbies. But you know, being dedicated to the Lord as followers of Jesus is the most important thing. And Jesus here in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, he's talking about dedication. He's talking about commitment. He's talking to his followers, those who had given up everything to follow him. He's talking to his disciples. Now, in this moment in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, Jesus has been ministering. He's been drawing crowds to himself. People have been coming from all over Galilee, all over these areas to come and witness him. They'd heard about Jesus. That Jesus wasn't just a religious teacher. They'd heard that he was a miracle worker. They'd heard that he'd been performing miracles for people. People had been recovering from sickness. People had been set free from things that had been gripping their lives. People had seen how he'd been changing lives. People had heard that he wasn't just a prophet, that in fact, this was God in the flesh, that God was walking here on earth. And people had come from all over to witness Jesus, to see Jesus. Many had given their lives to follow Jesus because they believed he was the savior of the world, that he was the one true living God. And we see here Jesus, he's in the midst of his ministry, busy going around telling people about God, telling people how they can come to know God and have a relationship, a friendship with God. But in this moment in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus is involved in ministry, but he's coming towards the end of his mission here on earth. And in fact, in this moment, he begins talking to his disciples about what's to come. He's talking to them about the future and about his future. And he reveals to his disciples, his closest followers, those who had given up everything to follow him, he reveals to them that he is going to have to suffer. He tells his disciples that he's in fact going to have to die and that he is also going to rise again, conquering death, conquering sin. He tells them that this is going to happen. But you know, the Bible tells us in Matthew 16 that one of Jesus' closest followers was a man named Peter. He hears Jesus saying this and he can't accept it. He says, I'm not going to accept this, that this is going to happen, that you're going to suffer and die. Jesus, this isn't going to happen. I'll do anything to stop this. This is what Peter says to him. It says this in verse 22 of Matthew 16. He says, but Peter took Jesus aside and began to reprimand him. Imagine that, telling Jesus off. He says, he begins to tell Jesus and for saying such things. He says, heaven forbid, Lord, he said, this will never happen to you. Peter says, I don't want this happening to you. So this is never going to happen. But you know what's interesting is how Jesus deals with Peter here. Jesus actually rebukes Peter. He rebukes Peter in this moment. It says in verse 23 of Matthew 16, he says, Jesus turned to Peter and said, get away from me, Satan. You are a dangerous trap to me. You are seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's. You know, Jesus' words here to Peter, one of his closest followers, they're shockingly strong, aren't they? These are strong words that Jesus is saying to Peter. You know, just a few moments before, if you read in Matthew chapter 16, Peter had declared that Jesus was the Messiah, that Jesus was the Son of God. And now just a few moments later, Jesus is calling Peter Satan. He's calling him the devil. He's calling him Satan. Why does Jesus do this? Well, it's because although Peter was well-meaning, although Peter loved Jesus in this moment, Peter was actually pushing an agenda that would hinder the Son of God. He was pushing the enemy's agenda here. Because Satan, the enemy of our souls, wanted to try and do anything he could from seeing Jesus go under the cross, because he knew that if Jesus went to the cross, he would die for the sin of the world and mankind would be reconciled to God. And Satan didn't want this. And so he was telling him to avoid the cross. And Jesus says to him, he rebukes him. He says, get away. He says, there's one reason I've come. As we read in Luke chapter 19, the one reason why Jesus came, to seek and save those who are lost. Jesus has come to save sinners so that we could spend eternity with him. In this moment, Peter didn't understand why Jesus was going to have to die. He didn't see the future. He didn't understand it all. And although he was well-meaning, he was trying to get Jesus to stop going, to stop Jesus from fulfilling his mission. Peter here, he saw things only from a human point of view. He wanted to protect Jesus from suffering. But Jesus knew that there would be no salvation without the cross. There'd be no saving without the cross, that you and I would never be able to have the hope of eternal life if Jesus didn't go to the cross, that we would all go to a lost eternity, a place called hell, if Jesus didn't step in and save us and take our place and take our punishment upon the cross. And so Jesus here, he shuts Peter down immediately. He says to Peter, he says, get behind me, Satan. He's telling him here, he's warning him about God's plan, that God's plan cannot be altered. It will not be altered. But then following this, after telling Peter this, Jesus then turns to the rest of his disciples. And Jesus says these words in verse 24. He says, then Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. Jesus is inviting people to follow him. Jesus is giving an invitation for the whosoever, no matter who you are, where you're from, what you've done. He's inviting people to come and know him. But what's interesting here is that Jesus wasn't offering an easy life. Jesus wasn't offering an easy life here. Jesus isn't offering comfort. He's not promising comfort. Jesus isn't offering success. Jesus isn't offering popularity, that you'll have a million followers on Instagram or Facebook or TikTok. He's not offering that at all. But instead, he's calling his disciples to a life of dedication, a life of following him. You know, when Jesus said these words here, take up your cross and follow me, that means something radical. You know, the cross, many of you might have one on this morning. You see one behind me. Many people wear it as a piece of jewelry these days. But you know, the cross was a symbol of suffering. The cross was a symbol of suffering. It was a symbol of death. It was a symbol of total surrender. That's what the cross was. You know, in Roman times, in which Jesus was here, in these times, in Roman times, when someone carried a cross, they were walking to their death. That's what the cross was. It was set up as a punishment to put people to death. And Jesus says here to his followers, he says, if you want to be my follower, he says, if you want to follow me, he says, you have to take up your cross and follow me. In other words, he says, you have to be willing to give me everything, to lay down your all, even your own life, to give me everything that you have. That's what a life of dedication looks like. That's what real dedication to Jesus is. When we give our lives to Jesus, it's not about convenience. It's not saying I might add Jesus to my life. I might go to church on Sundays and maybe I'll have Jesus just a few days a week and that's it. And then the rest of the time I live for myself. I'll follow my own plans. I'll do my own thing. That's not what it means. A real life of dedication isn't about convenience. It's not about comfort, making sure that everything's okay, that I have a nice house, that I have a nice family, that everything's going to work out well in my life, that I'm not going to have challenges or problems. But what Jesus is saying here is that real dedication is about a life of full surrender, saying that no matter what, Lord, I'm going to live for you. I'm going to give you my all. I'm going to trust you with my life. I'll trust you with my past. I'll trust you with my present. I'll trust you with my future. I give you my all. But you know, there's a wonderful paradox here. Is it amazing what Jesus says? Because Jesus says here that when you give up your life to follow me, when you take up your cross and follow me, Jesus says here, when you surrender your all, he says that you won't lose out, but in fact, you'll gain everything. You'll gain everything. You know, true life, real life, isn't about holding on to our own way and holding our own things, but it's about giving it up to following him, the way, the truth, and the life. It's about experiencing his life. Jesus says, I have come to give you life and life more abundantly. That's a better life than this world can offer you. It's a better life than any person can offer you. It's a better life than any career could offer you. It's a life, true life, living life with Jesus. It's real, eternal life. Jesus says this. He says in verse 25, he goes on to say, he says, if you try to hang on to your life, you'll lose it. But he says, if you give up your life for my sake, you'll save it. He says, you'll save your life. And so I want to ask you this morning, what does this look like in practical terms, in real life? What does this look like for you and me in 2025? What does it look like? What does real dedication to Jesus look like? Because Jesus doesn't call us to half-hearted faith. Jesus doesn't call you just to turn up to church on a Sunday morning so you can tick a box. That's not what Jesus is calling you to do. But Jesus is asking you to give up everything to follow him. Your whole life, every single day, to follow him. It's about having this belief that changes the way that we live. You know, if we're truly committed to Jesus, it will affect every aspect of our lives, everything in our lives. How we deal with family, how we deal with work, how we deal with finances, how we deal with one another, how we see everything. It will change absolutely everything. So what does this look like? What does a real life of dedication, of full surrender to Jesus look like? Well, it begins, first of all, I believe, dedicating our lives in our homes. It's dedication in our homes. It starts here, before church, before anywhere else. It starts in our homes. I love what Joshua said in the Old Testament, this man who was called by God to lead the people of God. He said this in Joshua 24, verse 14 to 15. He said, so fear the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly. He says, put away forever your idols, your ancestors worshipped when they lived beyond the Euphrates rivers and in Egypt. Serve the Lord alone. But if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. Would you prefer the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates? Or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live? But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. I love Joshua's dedication. He's saying, you've got all these other little gods. You've got all these other gods that you're worshiping. But he said, that's not for me. He says, me and my family, we're going to serve the one true living God. We're going to follow after him. Now, you might not have little statues in your house that you bow down and worship, but an idol is anything that takes the place of God in our lives, something that we put before God. It could be work. It could be a relationship. It could be money. It could be sport. It could be any of these things that take the place of God in our lives. And they're good things, but when they take the place of God in our lives, then there's a problem there. There's something wrong there. And Joshua here, he declares to all the people, he says, you can choose today. He says, God offers us this choice. God's given you this choice. You don't have to follow him. But he says, as for me and my family, we are going to serve the Lord. He had seen what God had done in his life. He'd seen the goodness, the help, the provision, the blessing of God. And he says, there's none like our God. And he says, as for me and my family, we are going to serve the Lord. And that's where true dedication really begins. It's in our homes. It's in our families. Everything starts at home. Who you are at home shapes everything else. If your faith isn't real at home, then it's not going to be real anywhere else. That's our first place of worship. Not church, it's our home life. Making sure that we've got our homes and we're putting God first in our lives. We must put Jesus first in our lives. You might say this morning, but Luke, I'm the only one in my household who knows the Lord. My family doesn't know the Lord. I just want to encourage you. Just keep living for Jesus. You don't have to bash people over the head with it. But just make sure you're living for Jesus where you are. And I believe, I've seen it even in my own family, where you continue to love Jesus and watch how Jesus' love is reflected and how that changes people's hearts and lives. Watch how God will do that. But I want to encourage you. A life of dedication isn't just about coming to church on Sundays, lifting your hands in the air, and then going home to live a totally different way. You know, I'll be honest, I've done that. And that doesn't please our God. God doesn't like that in our lives. And he's working in me still, and he's working in our hearts. But our first place of worship is in our homes. You know, this morning, I'm so grateful for Gareth and Barbara who are making that commitment this morning. They're making that dedication. They are saying along with Joshua, you know, you can raise your family in whatever way you want. But they are saying this morning, what they've done with Violet is saying, as for us in our household, we're going to serve the Lord. We're committed to raising Violet in these ways. That's what they are saying this morning. And this is more than just a nice little service that we have in. They're showing their commitment and dedication to the Lord. They're going to put Jesus first. But you know, this doesn't just apply to parents this morning. This isn't just about parents. It applies to all of us. We're all called to make our homes our worship places. We're all called to put Jesus at the center of our homes. You might say, what does a dedicated home look like? Well, a dedicated home is where Jesus is lifted up and worshipped. I want to encourage you to worship Jesus in your house. Put on a worship song. Begin to sing his praises. Begin to thank him for what he's done. Worship Jesus in the home. A home of dedication is a place where prayer is normal. Where you don't have to wait until a crisis and say, Lord, will you help us now? But you can actually say, we're going to put Jesus first. We're going to pray. At the end of every night, we're going to pray together. At the start of the day, we're going to pray together. I'm going to pray for my child. You could say that. It's where prayer is central. I'm so grateful I grew up in a home where prayer was important and where we prayed with one another. A home that is dedicated to God is a home where God's word is central and not just an afterthought. It's not something, oh yes, on the back burner, but it's where we're going to declare God's word, where we're going to stand on God's promises, where we're going to say, yeah, God said it, so I'm going to do it, where we encourage each other with God's word, comfort each other with God's word, where we read God's word, talk about God's word with one another. That's what a home of dedication looks like. A home of dedication to the Lord is a home where the grace, where the love, where the forgiveness of God is lived out and not only just spoken about, where it's lived out, where there is mercy, where there is forgiveness, where there is mercy again. I wonder this morning, are you living, is your home, are you building a home where Jesus is the center? Are you building a home where Jesus is the center? A true life of dedication to the Lord is meaning that we're going to dedicate our homes to Jesus. And even if it's just you, even if you live on your own, I want to encourage you this morning. Say, as for me, I'm going to dedicate my home to the Lord. I'm going to serve the Lord in this house. This is going to be for him. I'm going to live for him here. Secondly, dedication, full surrender to the Lord means that we're going to be dedicated to his church, to the church of Jesus. It says this in Acts 2 verse 42 by the early church. It says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. You know, for the early church, church wasn't just somewhere where they attended. It was a community that they were committed to. It was a community they were committed to. It went beyond just Sundays. It went just beyond having a service. It was a way of life. That we're going to do life together. That's what the early church did. They did life together. They lived for Jesus and they encouraged each other with Jesus. In other words, the early church, they weren't just occasional attenders, but they were all in. They said, I'm going to commit myself to this family. I'm going to commit myself to this group of people. I'm going to serve alongside them, encourage them. I'm going to help them. I'm going to be there. And I pray that they'll be there for me as well. You know, one of the sad things is that many people, they don't commit to a church. You know, it's important that you get planted in a local church. It's vital. It's no good you hopping from one church and then another church and then another church and saying, I might try this one out this week, or I'll try that one out and see if I like that one or not. That's not what God's calling us to do. He's calling us to be committed to a church. Now, if you want to make this church part of, you want to make this your family, this your home church, then we'd love to welcome you. If not, there are so many fantastic other churches where it might be better for you, where you might know people. I encourage you to get planted, but just be planted in a church somewhere. Get part of the church of Jesus Christ. You know, dedication means that we're going to plant ourselves in one place. We're going to be committed to one place. And you know, there's a wonderful promise when we do this, when we get part of one family. It says this in Psalm 92, verse 12 to 15. It says, the righteous will flourish like a palm. Anybody want to flourish like a palm tree? It says, they will grow like a cedar of Lebanon planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there's no wickedness in him. There's power in being planted. You know, as I've shared before, my wife's a keen gardener. She loves to garden, and she will tell you, even from planting flowers or even if you plant in trees, that you're not going to get very far if you put a plant somewhere and then uproot it somewhere else. The roots are not going to go down deep. It's not going to be any good for that plant, and that plant will eventually die. And so it will be with church as well. If you keep hopping churches and going to different churches, you'll never have strong roots, and you'll never grow, and you'll never flourish. I want to encourage you this morning, get planted in the house of God. Become a partner, get involved in church life, serve in a church, whether this church or one of the fantastic churches up and down our valley. Just please plant yourself somewhere. Be committed. Why? Because God will bless you in mighty, mighty ways. What does it mean? What does it look like to be planted in a church? It means to be faithfully committed. I'm going to turn up week in, week out. I'll be there. I'm ready to be committed. I'm going to make church a priority, and it's not just going to be an option. It's going to be a priority. I'm a part of this family. Being committed or dedicated to a church means I'm going to serve. I'm going to move from just being a consumer and sitting in the rows, but I'm going to contribute. That God's placed me here. That God's given me a gift, and that I got something to share with somebody else. I can encourage. I can be on a team. I can help out. That's what it means to be dedicated in a church. When you're a part of a church, it means that we are dedicated to growing. That I'm not dedicated to just coming and sitting on the rows, but I'm going to grow in my faith. I'm going to open up my heart, and I'm going to allow God to work in my life. I'm going to get planted. I'm going to be involved in discipleship. I'm going to get involved in a discipleship class. I'll be involved in a small group. I'll come along to the prayer meetings. I'm going to be there, and I'm going to grow, because I believe that God will bless if I commit in that way. I want to encourage you this morning. Church isn't a place that you go to. It's a family you're a part of. Get dedicated. Get committed to the family of God. Make it somewhere where you can invest in, where you can grow, and I can guarantee you, you'll flourish. You'll see God bless your life. I encourage you. That's what a life of dedication looks like. It starts in your home, starts in the house of God, and finally, as we come to an end, a life of dedication isn't just about being dedicated to the Lord in our homes or even here in our church. It's about being dedicated to our community as well. Dedicated to our community. Matthew 5 verse 14 to 16 says this. Jesus says, "You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father." Dedication doesn't just stop in your home, or doesn't just stop at church, but it's meant to extend to the world around us as well. There is a world that needs Jesus. You know, as we were singing that song this morning about Amazing Grace, and you know, there's a powerful line that says, "When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining like the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first began." What a powerful chorus that is. What an amazing lines that is. And I just began to think, as we were worshiping this morning, I just thought, thank you, God. Thank you, God. That's my future. Because of what you've done for me, that's my future. That I'm going to be singing your praises. But you know, I was reminded in that moment, I felt the Holy Spirit prompt my heart. There are people out there that don't have that future. There are people out there who don't know that truth, who can't sing that song. But God wants them to. God is longing for them to. And I pray that we wouldn't just be in here on Sunday mornings just singing, "Yes, well, we've been there 10,000 years." No, when there's out there, there's people in our homes, people in our communities who are going to a lost eternity. May God forgive us. May God help us. May God anoint us. May God equip us so that we can see our world won for Jesus. See our families won for Jesus. You don't have to stand up in the middle of town and preach a message. If you want to do that, may God bless you. But you know, there are people in our homes who need Jesus, family members who need Jesus, work colleagues who you see day in, day out, who need Jesus, people in those clubs that you're a part of who need Jesus. And we are called as a family of God to be dedicated to reaching the world for Jesus. You might say this morning, "Luke, I don't have a Bible college degree. I don't know the Bible. I'm only just beginner, or I don't know it that well." Just start with your story. Tell people about what Jesus has done in your life. Just simply tell them, be real with people and tell them, "Look, I was lost, I was broken, I was hurt. You know, this happened in my life. But then I met Jesus. I experienced his love and it changed everything." You know, tell them, even tell them about your struggles now, but how God is helping you, even here and now. We've all got a story that we can share. So I want to encourage us to be dedicated to reaching our community. Thank God for all the ministries that we can reach out, but it goes beyond that. Share Jesus in your homes. Share Jesus in the streets. Share Jesus wherever he has placed you. Do people see Jesus in your life? As it's been said by many preachers before, your life may be the only Bible that someone reads. So are you living for Jesus, not just in here, are you living for him out there as well, so that other people can see him in your life? If we are truly get dedicated to Jesus, he'll show up in our homes, he'll show up in church, and he'll show up in our family as well. Jesus says, by your fruit, you will be known. It'll be evident. You won't even have to tell people. People will see God at work. They'll see his spirit working in your heart and your life. So as we come to an end this morning, dedication, it's not just an event. It's not just something that happens for children. We're all called to dedicate our lives to the Lord. It's a way of life, not just a one-time decision. Matthew 16, verse 24, then Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. I want to encourage you, follow Jesus. It's the best thing you will ever do. You won't miss out on anything. It's not boring. It's life, and life more abundantly. Let go of your future. Let go of your comfort. Let go of your preferences. Let go of your excuses this morning and say, Jesus, I'm going to commit to you. So I want to challenge you today. Are you dedicated to Jesus in your home? I want to challenge you. Are you planted in his church? I want to challenge you. Are you being a light in your community? If you're a parent here today, or if you're a house owner today, or even if you live on your own, dedicate your home to the Lord. Say, as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. If you're a part of this church, or you come along, plant yourself here. Get involved, serve, share, be a part of our church family. And if we're in our community, let's just be the hands and feet of Jesus wherever he has placed us, sharing Jesus with those around us. 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9 says this, the eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Are you fully committed to him? Jesus gave everything for you. Will you give him your all as well? Will you give him your life? Dedicate your life to Jesus this morning. Amen.